press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to taste in
the shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Ooh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nominated?
They optioned no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater
and pop culture
and love
and life.
I'm Connor, certainly.
And I'm definitely Dylan.
Definitely Dylan. Oh, I like that we both did definitely Dylan and Connor, certainly. Like, even though it wasn't a hard C, like we did CC and DD.
Some might even call that an alliteration.
Oh, I could have simply said that. Well, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Boxing Day, etc. If you're listening to this a week later, Happy New Year.
You know, we talk about this every year, but a lot of podcasts take off the last couple of weeks of the year. And this is the first year where I've thought to myself, we should take off those couple of weeks.
I know. But it is nice to have stuff to listen to when you're like packing to travel home, or, you know, you have your Christmas presents, say, and they've all got tags on the clothes and you have to like cut them and you don't want to be alone with your thoughts. So you put on a pod. And so we're here to be that for y'all this year, whether yes. You're baking cookies or driving to family Christmas or on the train, whatever you're doing.
I mean, I certainly am going to be driving to and from different Christmases over the next couple of days. And I've actually been stockpiling podcasts, some of my favorites, in anticipation for that and knowing that no new ones would be coming out. So hopefully people are listening to us and they're feeling the Christmas coziness.
Love. What are some podcasts that you're loving right now?
I'm obsessed with Good Hang, Amy Poehler's podcast.
Me too.
Which is my odds-on favorite to win best podcast at the Golden Globes this year, which is that new category. But as always, I'm still a longtime listener of Race Chaser with Willem in Alaska. And a few others, you know, like different comedians that I love. I'm a daily listener of comedian Michelle Collins' podcast, which is like a radio show called The Michelle Collins Show. And she was a former co-host on The View. And
how does she have stuff to talk about every single day? That's honestly amazing. She almost like probably does it for the pod in a way.
She does. Does it for the pod. That's hilarious. But she absolutely lives a glamorous life and is always meeting friends for dinner, going to shows. She will buy single tickets to things so she can talk about her experience at the opera or Royal Albert Hall. She, you know, she's lived in Europe on and off over the last couple, like mostly since COVID. But if she doesn't have anything to say or her co-host doesn't have anything to say, they'll go through some headlines of some interesting stories.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. Well, I also am loving Good Hang. Good Hang is so good. I'm still loving Call Her Daddy.
You're an Alex Cooper stan.
She's kind of my role model.
Wow.
Even though the show is like massively overproduced at this point, and who she has on, they're on there for a reason to answer these certain questions. I love it. I think she's got a great interview style. She's so prepared and well-researched, but keeps it pretty casual.
I don't listen to her interviews, but sometimes you'll send me her, I mean, they're like solo episodes where she'll kind of go off on a certain topic. And I actually find those to be really interesting.
I know. She said good stuff about like, what was the one that we both really got our shit together? Or she like got our asses on, where it was talking about being alone with your thoughts.
Yes. And how like people love to always be, you know, speaking of podcasts while you're doing things during the Christmas season, but
lol,
people love to, you know, have music on, be listening to podcasts so they're not alone and having to process their own life. And we're both guilty of that.
I was going to say me as hell.
I know.
Dylan, when is the last time you were alone with your thoughts? I don't even want to know.
We're not going to go there. But for those who don't want to be alone with their thoughts right now, we have a lot to get into.
Oh my God, so much. I was kind of surprised that Call Her Daddy wasn't nominated for that best podcast at the Golden Globes.
It was shortlisted.
Okay. Wait, Globes nominations came out. Do you have any reactions or thoughts about anything? Jacob Elordi, double nominee. And first-time nominee.
I love when that sort of thing happens. I don't have any thoughts about specific nominees, but I do have thoughts about specific movies that I've loved.
Okay.
The expected ones that have popped up, like, honestly, Wicked for Good and One Battle After Another. But some of the quieter movies I have loved this season, like Hamnet and Sentimental Value. I've loved those.
Loved. Sentimental Value was so good.
It was a Connor movie.
What do you mean?
Introspective, artsy, emotional, like, conflict.
Wow.
And European. So there's like a romantic edge.
Great music. Were we the sisters?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was great though. And she really loved Elle Fanning in that movie.
Oh my God, that scene where they're in the house and she's doing it's a table read, for lack of better words, and she's going through the script for the first time, and she's acting as this actress who's clearly good, but is reading a script that's clearly wrong for her. And she's, sifting through the material for the first time and in real time trying to get this emotion out. Oh my God. That scene was so layered, entertaining, uncomfortable. I
Yeah.
felt odd watching it. I was like, am I supposed to be buying this? And like, ultimately, you're not.
Right. And Stellan Skarsgård was fantastic in that movie. I've always loved him. He has so many good performances, comedic and non. But this was, I mean, I would not be surprised if he won a lot of awards for this one.
Ooh, do you think that he is the front runner for like the Oscar?
What category would he be in?
Supporting. He's in supporting with Benicio del Toro, Sean Penn, Paul Mescal. Those are like the four. And then the like five and six have been Jacob Elordi and Adam Sandler. But I'm seeing Sandler falling off. And I'm seeing Delroy Lindo from Sinners get in a few places. And I'm
Oh.
seeing who's the other person that's like the six that I've seen get in. I think Adam Sandler's like losing steam and Elordi is like jumping up.
Which pleases you beyond compare.
It really does. I feel like he's been a good actor all these years, but for whatever reason, he just hasn't broken through in a big way yet, in ways that his, I guess, for lack of better, whatever Euphoria co-stars have.
Yeah.
Like, they all kind of popped off in big ways, except Alexa Demi, which we need to talk about Alexa Demi. But anyway,
What is the second movie he's nominated for? Obviously, he's in Frankenstein.
Frankenstein, he's nominated for being the lead of this limited series that he did, this Australian show, The Road to the Narrow Deep North. He plays a soldier in a way.
I've never heard of it
Well,
once.
I follow a
Interesting.
Twitter account called Best of Jacob Elordi. So, y'all.
Of course you do. And I love the idea of him getting in there. I also always will root for
Well,
Paul
yes.
Mescal. I think I found Stellan to be a better performance, though, in Sentimental Value. But again, felt like a lead.
Yeah. Stellan and Paul?
Yeah, it's so much category fraud all over this map.
It's weird. I know. Because a true supporting performance just literally doesn't get recognized.
There's no more Judi Dench in Shakespeare in Love, although I don't know if we need Judi Dench to have anything now, but thank
Lord
you for your
and
service
help.
over the years, Dame Dench, and onward.
So
It's
crazy.
been a fun movie season. I've really, really enjoyed almost everything that I've seen. And I'm glad that you're finally catching up on some that you missed, like Weapons.
Yeah. Oh my God. Amy Madigan was great. She was so good. I thought Glenn Close was great in Wake Up Dead Man, too. I'd probably nominate Glenn over Amy. Is that a hot take or is that like a offline
Is,
take?
sorry, I'm so out of the loop. Is Glenn getting any buzz?
She's picking up stuff here and there.
Okay.
She was
She
amazing.
should have an Oscar. Like, it's just one of those performers.
Yeah, she should.
And an Oscar was such a big deal. In my opinion, like, to have an Oscar, my God, is this insane of me to say? I mean, our friends Nick and Sophia literally have a podcast about the Oscars, but
That's how
I don't know.
big
You
of a
think about
deal it
like
is.
Billie Eilish has like a couple Oscars.
Yeah.
It's wild.
It's crazy.
Judy Garland doesn't.
Even crazier.
I know.
Speaking of Judy Garland, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas and Meet Me in St. Louis. That is one of my favorite Christmas songs of all time, truly. That one, Last Christmas.
Yes.
What are some other Christmas bangers that you would just like? I mean, Oh Holy Night, Lea Michele, Glee version, obviously.
Those are all, you listed most of my favorite Christmas songs just now, but I found a playlist on Spotify called British Christmas.
Hello?
I know, because Love Actually is like probably my top three favorite Christmas movies. And I always think like I love the feeling of Christmas in that movie, like that early 2000s, going to the mall, everyone wearing beautiful scarves, like that kind of era. And I wanted to find a playlist that sort of captured that feeling.
I love it. Can you send it to me, please?
Yeah, definitely.
Kelly Clarkson's Christmas album should not be slept on.
Wrapped in Red is it's one of the best. I'll tell you what I've been
Unbelievable.
listening to this holiday season. It's Matt Rogers, who a lot of people know. He's a gay actor, comedian. He has a comedy Christmas album called Have You Heard of Christmas? And I have, it's been out for a few years, but I have been listening to it a lot and I'm obsessed.
It's amazing.
I mean, you and I saw him perform it at the Duplex and then at Joe's Pub
Wow.
pre-pandemic. And this was before it became an album and a national tour. He's toured it a few times.
Good for him. He's so amazing. No, when you were playing it in the car the other day, I was like, oh, the vocals are insane, but also these are incredible songs.
That's the thing. It's like they're hilarious, but they actually are well-intentioned. I always describe it as earnest holiday music, like
Yeah.
a Mariah Carey or a Kelly Clarkson. Wait, speaking of Matt, his co-host from their podcast, Bowen Yang, who at this point I would say is basically a household name if you own a television, he left SNL.
Gagged. Although the word on the street has been for months that he was going to leave when Ariana hosted and Cher was the musical guest. How do people find out this info? Because it was
There's
true.
always a leaky faucet.
I know. It's just like one person who tells one person who's having drinks with someone else. And that person, like, obviously can't be trusted, but they tell someone else. And, that's just how it goes. But how do you feel? I feel as if this Bowen SNL departure has been the biggest splash of an SNL news piece all year. And that includes most of the cast getting let go earlier this year, right?
Yeah, I mean, Ego left, Heidi, a lot of the men have left over the last couple of years. I was surprised Bowen didn't leave when everyone else did. And a lot of the rumors online is that he felt bad that he'd missed so much over the last couple of years because of Wicked Press and Wicked filming, that he wanted to sort of owe it to Lauren and the show for letting him do that while being in season. And that it was sort of like, I'll give you half of a year as opposed to leaving with everyone else. And I don't know. I think it's lovely. He's a history-making cast member. I posted about this on Instagram. He's the first openly gay man to be a performer on the show. And he's the first Asian full-time cast member on the show. And so great. Let's give him his flowers. People love to get so mad about a little love and attention to someone who maybe they might not necessarily think is funny, but you can't deny Bowen is a star.
A star. I'm like kind of emotional after hearing you say those things because I kind of forgot that he was the first of both of those. I truthfully haven't watched SNL at all this season. I feel so bad about it.
It's funny, you ironically said that you fell off after we attended a dress rehearsal last year.
No, literally. I don't know why. It just kind of fell to the bottom of my list of things. I am so behind on television. It's crazy. But I definitely will watch the, I was almost going to call it the Bowen episode, Ariana and Cher. Featuring Bowen's farewell.
Well, and the week before, your boy Josh O'Connor hosted.
Love him. I need to watch the Bad Bunny one.
Sabrina Carpenter had a good episode. Yeah, I definitely think that the show will be lacking without him. But I also have to just say that it's been a weak season in general with the departure of all those, I would say, titans within the last couple of years on SNL. They have had a lot of newbies come in, and they're just certainly all funny, but I just don't know if they're stars like Kate McKinnon or Kristen Wiig. Certainly not Tina and Amy level yet, but you never know. And Bowen was one of those people that I could always rely on to make me smile when I'd see him in a sketch. And I will say, when we attended that dress rehearsal last year, the audience went absolutely nuts whenever they saw Bowen.
They totally did.
Fan favorite.
Wow. What a trailblazer. And he's so young, like so
I know.
young. He's gonna do tons and tons.
I mean, yeah, he's a voice in the next Cat in the Hat movie, and he was in both Wickeds, obviously.
It's like you said, he was the number one male Wicked cast member in terms of press priority this year.
Yes.
I think he did more press than Jonathan Bailey.
I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised at all. Yeah, it was a very interesting way that it all shook out. And this whole thing with him and Ariana, I don't know what if they're really best friends or what the situation is, but
They seem to be.
it's interesting that she was then the host when he was leaving.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, speaking of Ariana, do you think she's going to get an Oscar nomination? I feel like we went into this year being like, oh, her and Cynthia are definitely going to get nominated for everything again. And then, like, Cynthia started not. And now it's kind of feeling like Ariana's losing steam. I think As Wicked for Good has lost steam, which obviously we did a full episode on our aforementioned friends, Nick and Sophia's podcast, Oscar Wilde, which you guys should totally go listen to. It's interesting how if there wasn't so much awards convo about Wicked for Good, I feel like I probably wouldn't be thinking about it that much at all.
Because you feel like it kind of came and went.
Kinda, don't you think? The press tour was much less fun.
I wouldn't say there was any iconic moments from this year's press tour.
None.
I'm thinking off the top of my head right now. I can't think of any. I'd say my favorite thing that they did in anticipation for the movie was the One Wonderful Night
Yeah.
concert. And I thought that was a really exciting way to create buzz. Actually, no, there is one thing from the Wicked press tour this year that has stuck with me, and it's Michelle Yeoh saying, "Madame Morrible, flip it around, Wicked Witch."
Yes, that's so true. What a sad go. We don't have to keep discoursing Wicked for good, but
Yeah. So I know a lot of our listeners absolutely loved it, and
I liked
we
it.
didn't despise it,
Yeah, I
but
liked
it just
it.
didn't land like the first one did.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody recently and they were like, it should have just been one big movie. And sure, there's a world where that would be great. But I just have to say to that, and I would, oh, by the way, I would have said that and did say that when they announced that it was going to be two movies. But Wicked Part One was so amazing that I honestly wouldn't change it because of that. It was just such a great adaptation, wouldn't you say?
It was incredible. One of the best movie musicals of all time. Really,
Wow.
I genuinely feel that way. It's a shame that like part two kind of has that stain in my opinion on it, but it's still a massive blockbuster hit. And I love when theater is in the mainstream. So
Totally.
I really can't complain too much just because it disappointed me. We'll always have the first part and Broadway and the inevitable remake that will happen in our lifetimes.
And the spin-offs and the prequels and the theme park at Universal Studios and everything else that they are like absolutely gonna do
I know.
100%. Do you think Ariana or Cynthia will ever do it on Broadway? I know that sounds like a silly little question to ask at this point, but what do you
I
think?
don't. I really don't.
Never?
Nah. The biggest thing I could see would be like if there was some sort of a like a 30th anniversary, you know, like kind of how they did that with Les Mis in London that one year, and like I could see that type of a thing happening. But then again, they did the movie, so it doesn't
Yeah.
really get much bigger than that.
I'm telling you, Kristen Orodina will 1,000,000% go back and play Morrible one day on Broadway, don't you think? In the way that Tom Felton is in Cursed Child on Broadway. I
Yeah.
just feel like there comes a moment where it happens. They all go back for the remake or the reboot or the whatever, whatever, whatever. I could see it, don't you think?
Yes, and honestly, I think it would be one of the smartest things Kristen could do right now because her career and the conversations around this icon of the Broadway community over the last couple of months, Wicked is something that does bring everyone together. I mean, Kristen even posted this unseen footage, or Wicked at least posted it, of her performing Thank Goodness in Wicked. And I guarantee you, everyone put their feelings about Kristen right now aside in that moment to watch her deliver an incredible performance.
Yeah. No, you did too. You messaged me and you were like, wow, the OG for a reason.
Yes. To answer your initial question, I think it's not fully out of the realm of possibility for Ariana to get a nomination still for the movie.
Oh, right.
But stranger things have happened. And I don't know. I wonder if it would be hard for them to nominate Ariana and not Cynthia, and that'd be a whole other conversation. I will say Ariana was the lead of that movie. So there's that. There's a more discourse around category fraud for you.
It's like when they nominated Ryan Gosling for Barbie and they didn't nominate Margot Robbie.
She didn't get nominated.
No.
That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Wait, you know what else I could see happen with Wicked on Broadway? I know we're jumping around a lot here with nominations and stuff. I could see Norbert playing the wizard one day.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
He would slay.
I would love if Norbert played the wizard and Michelle Federer played Madame Morrible, friend of the pod.
Oh, period. Wait. That has to happen. That has to
Yeah.
happen. So, okay, speaking of Kristen, this week we had three Broadway shows close: Art, which I didn't see, Little Bear Ridge Road, which I didn't see, and Queen of Versailles, which I did
Right.
see. All
Yes.
closed early except Art, right?
Art closed right on time, and I think it even recouped its investment.
Wow.
Right.
I genuinely wonder what Kristen Chenoweth is going to do next in the theater world because she's on a TV show on network TV right now that I've seen a little bit of stuff about online, but
I've seen clips of it at the gym.
at the gym, right? Of course, of
On mute,
course.
yeah.
Because I feel like maybe she'll take a little time away. If she's smart, she'll do that and come back in perhaps a highly anticipated revival of something that's much loved, maybe in a leading role, maybe in a supporting role. Who knows what she'll do? Maybe that way she doesn't have to carry a whole thing on her back or whatever, you know, and wins back favor and maybe has remorse for the flippancy and the lack of explaining oneself.
So what's interesting there is I completely agree with everything you said. Everyone seems to think that's what should happen, right? And everyone seems to agree, except for the cast of Queen of Versailles. And we're not on the inside. We aren't the ones who are hearing these conversations. We love so many of the artists that are a part of that show. Longtime fans, obviously, of Kristen. It's been a tricky couple of months. What are we missing, y'all? What are we missing? Because everyone in the public seems to think one thing. And is that just the power of narrative? Is that the power of the press and the online conversation and echo chambers? Or are we correct and the cast of Queen of Versailles is wrong? Because everyone is still pushing Kristen up as like this fearless leader, the person who asks the right questions, the one who's humble, the one who's showing remorse, all of these things. And maybe that's happening behind closed doors, but the adoring fans are not seeing it. And so I just think that, like, when you're in something, when you're so deep in it, it can be sometimes hard to have a separate set of eyes criticize it or criticize you. But I'm left a little bit confused because obviously I'm not celebrating the closure of Queen of Versailles. I'm not celebrating the cancellation of Kristen Chenoweth, like any of that. And you aren't either. Well, this podcast
No,
never has.
literally. I mean, I don't want Kristen to be canceled, nor do I think she should be canceled. I think she should explain what she meant when she made those comments.
In fact, you publicly, as in on this podcast, said that months ago in like October, you said that her response with Frank DiLella wasn't good enough and you wanted a little bit more.
Yeah, that's all we want. But she spoke on it more and it was just not right. Yeah, Dylan, I totally agree. It's interesting because, like, when a show, quote unquote, flopped pre-social media, obviously discourse was happening in the streets and not just in the tweets.
In the streets.
But I wonder how much noise the cast posts, for example, are responding to rather than like actual audience response. Like, also, if people hear a show is bad and have no interest in what it's about, they're not going to go see it.
Right.
You know, like,
I know. It's interesting too, because I'm seeing this, like the book writer and other people, creatives are saying that people just don't want to support a woman or a complicated figure. But look back, y'all, through history. Evita is about a complicated female lead. Like there are so many different shows. Elphaba is technically an anti-hero. There's so many different intersections happening right now. And I can say that the material that Queen of Versailles was based on did not hit for me, and it was not interesting to me right now. But would it have thrived in a booming economy, a peaceful time in our world, like the Obama years, perhaps? Maybe.
Interesting, Dylan. I
Maybe.
hadn't really thought about that if it came out in a different time.
I certainly think that, like, the times we live in affect the way things go. I mean, we talked about this with Chris Seabrook earlier this year about how Broadway seasons, sometimes there'll be a ton of comedic shows or there'll be a ton of serious shows or political shows, and it's a response to what's happening. But in Queen of Versailles' case, okay, it's been in the works for, I think, 8 to 10 years. So what was going on 8 to 10 years ago? You know,
Wow.
it's interesting to think like it can't help. When its pipeline finally churned it out for Broadway and the stars all aligned, I mean, maybe it could help. They could have held it, or I don't know. At the end of the day, I'm very sad for everyone who does not have a job anymore at Christmas time as we're about to head into what's looking like a recession. So that's very disappointing. And the same goes for Little Bear Ridge, which closed a little bit quieter under similar, in my opinion, circumstances.
Yeah.
The last piece I want to add about Chino is there is still a very real possibility that her and this show receive some Tony nominations. So brace yourself for what's going to happen in the next five and a half months. You never know. This isn't obviously the end. But you know, if Redwood would have waited a year, I think it would have been very much in the conversation and is a new
Absolutely.
musical in many categories. So it just goes to show from year to year, things can really change.
It's so true. Dylan, that's such a hot take of yours to say about Redwood. I
I've been saying
love
it for a few weeks
it.
because I keep listening to Adina's version of Nobody's Side from that Chess concert. And I'm like, God, her voice, she's just amazing. And then I think, oh, yeah, she was on Broadway and we just saw her.
Yeah. God, so much happens.
Literally. Since our listeners last heard from you, you were about to see Marjorie Prime. I'm curious if you have any thoughts to share for the podcast. Obviously, June, Cynthia Nixon, come on, drama. I know you're listening.
Danny, come back.
This is the second time now I've made a public plea to June Squibb.
Do you think Danny remembers doing the podcast?
Of course.
How could he forget? Seeing June Squibb on stage evoked such an emotional response in me. It's almost hard to talk about. I literally thought about you, Dylan. I was thinking, gosh, this is a treasure. Truly a treasure. I mean, she's so with it. She's so emotional, so affecting. And the plot of the show, I was kind of surprised by at times. It's in a way about AI, but not in the way you think or the way people use it at this present moment.
Right, because it's not a new play.
No. I guess it was a movie, according to Friend of the Pod, Drew Drogi.
Right.
But it was so good to see June. So good to see Cynthia Nixon. I've never seen her in anything on stage before.
Yeah, we've missed her last couple of onstage outings.
They, of course, had her in a red wig.
Rightful.
Which I thought was, the wig was a little silly at times, but ultimately a very emotional play, 90 minutes straight through. It was good. It was really good. The acting was amazing.
I wish I'd be able to see it, but I don't think I'll be back to New York before my wedding.
Damn.
But if I do, June. Hey, I'm gonna pander here. She's at 97. Okay.
96.
She did just record an amazing podcast with Amy Poehler, the aforementioned, on Good Hang.
We can't stop talking about it. No, I know. I didn't realize that June spent so many years working in Cleveland at the Cleveland Playhouse. That's where she really cut her teeth.
Yeah, that's so great. She's so cute.
Theater girly. So good.
Anything else theater related going on? I feel like it's obviously a quiet season. There's been a lot of discourse about the theater tax running out, and that's why we don't have a ton of new musicals this season. But I guess, you know, since we've last recorded, it's been announced Titanic is coming to Broadway and Beaches, the musical, is coming to Broadway. So the best new musical race has just heated up with every new announcement. And I'm really excited I'll get to see Titanic again.
So crazy that it's going to Broadway. It'll be interesting to see how Broadway audiences respond to it. It literally just closed in June. Doesn't it feel like it was a year ago, June?
Yeah. And it was running for a couple years.
That's wild. I have a feeling we're going to see some familiar faces back in it. And
a few friends of the pod.
Oh, you know, I wonder if there's going to be any celeb casting. Because, you know, they were doing that off Broadway, too. But maybe some new celeb casting. We'll see. I'm going to say it right here, right now. I think Marla Mandel is the front runner for the leading actress Tony in a musical.
Okay.
I'm saying it now. We're starting our Tony's predictions in 2025, y'all. You know, we can't help ourselves.
I can't help it. And that seems right. That seems right that we start now on the eve of the new year.
Yeah, I'm feeling it. I really am. I know we've got some other amazing female performances. We got Christiani, we got Leah, we got Casey, amongst others. But I just have a feeling.
Okay.
I have a feeling.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what I would love is to go see Betsy Wolff in Death Becomes Her.
I mean, Betsy's going to kill it. She's already hysterical.
Fans have noticed online that her Instagram bio has her dates for Death Becomes Her, and it's only through a bit of April. So everyone's like, oh, is Megan going to come back? Is Megan leaving to go film something or take a break? You know, what could it be? So interested to see what's going to happen there.
Interesting. I wouldn't be surprised if they took the route of what O'Mary just recently did and what Six has started doing is rehearsing leads together and bringing in two new leads at the same time. So I feel like Jennifer Samard might be done at that point, maybe Seber as well. And that chemistry of those characters is so key in Death Becomes Her that I could see them wanting to start that trend because it's still a huge hit.
That's a really fun theory. I love it. I think that's really interesting and they should totally do that. I also heard a rumor that Darren Criss is leaving maybe Happy Ending.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't remember.
He's back and I heard he's leaving.
I didn't remember how long his return was supposed to be. Gosh, talk about a show that rebounded. Like, obviously it won the Best Musical Tony. And then there was all of that online kerfuffle about Andrew Barth Feldman. And then he quietly did his run. He just performed with the Jonas Brothers last night. And Darren came back and everyone sort of just moved on.
Well, even before all that, though, remember the show barely was doing any marketing, coming to Broadway. They kept delaying
Right.
performances, and it wasn't really selling too great in the fall, winter, but it was a critical success, and audiences loved it, and that it really just could build, which I thought is so amazing. And yeah, I'm interested to see where it goes next. I'm sure they'll make a movie, right?
Oh, hadn't even thought about that. I think one of the beautiful parts about it is that it's a musical, but a movie would be great. I would love for it to tour. And to anyone who says they can't tour it, they're touring Harry Potter. So they toured Fun Home and restaged it
True.
into Proscenium. I think they can tour it. They toured The King and I with a boat. So I think that they can tour maybe Happy Ending. You know, we've been in and out of the theater in this conversation. Shifting gears really quick. I know we talked about it with Drew on our recent episode, but we did finally both get into Heated Rivalry. And I'd be remiss to not mention it on this podcast.
I mean, what was life like before Heated Rivalry? Dylan, it's everything.
It feels like one of those cultural moments.
It is a cultural moment. And you made such a good point about it that if it was dumped in one episode, one day, all the episodes come out, we all would have watched it over a weekend and moved on completely.
Right.
It's the fact that we get to like live with these characters for weeks, we get to discourse it with friends, audiences get to build, moments get to go viral. Cast gets to do press. It's like, oh, I don't know. TV is back.
I know, and I'm kicking myself for not diving in when everyone else did because I missed multiple weeks of the discourse. I think I started with the week that episode 4 came out.
Okay. See, I did watch from the beginning.
Eager and ready for the finale. I know you did. You were 1 week ahead of me.
And I told you, Dylan, it's so fun to see all the posts online about it and to talk about it with coworkers and to meet these new stars. And obviously, they're getting a season two, which is amazing. It's become such a good show.
Agree. After the first episode, I was like, oof, the acting.
I'm still a little
The
oof
budget.
about some of the acting.
Yeah, some. But I agree. And obviously it's sexy and the men are beautiful to look at. I'm personally a Shayne Hollander. Much to everyone's surprise, I would say,
Really?
because normally I'd go for like the blonde type character, which would be Ilya. But in this case, it's all about Shayne for me
Yeah, Ilya is giving body.
in a crazy way.
His acting was so good in episode five.
And we're so invested in the story too. It's been a great build. And I'm just sad that it's only 6 episodes
I
and
know.
it won't be back for a while because I don't think they've filmed the second season yet.
I still can't believe how quickly they jump through time. The plotting is insane. Why have these guys been in a 10-year situationship?
You said it best. It is so fan fiction because that is so true. Anyone who's ever read a fanfic, present company obviously, has some experience reading a few, they really do jump through years very quickly. And I don't know if it's a device just to add to the yearning or the circumstances, but it feels unnecessary to me because we crossed a decade, I think, almost at this point.
No, for sure. Well, and spoiler incoming, y'all. Episode three features a different couple, and then they're not in episode four, and then they come back in episode five, but years have gone by, and we're missing all this context. If the series had maybe 8 to 10 episodes, I'm sure we would have gotten more of them. Hopefully, season two has more. I hope. I hope. I hope. I love Scott and Kip so much. They are so cute.
So cute. I keep describing episode 3 as an indie film because it felt like a contained little bottle episode of a romance. But then you see Ilya and Shane as like side characters in a way. So it was a treat. I have to say, though, I don't know if the story that they're telling in this season needs to be dragged out over the course of, because it's just a lot of longing and yearning.
But that's fun. I love a man who yearns.
It is fun and beautiful. I because it's like once they're together, like what are we gonna do?
Wait, so true. I feel like all the best rom-coms are people getting together.
And that's how they end.
So I'm wondering if this will end with them getting together. We don't know. We'll find out, I guess, in a couple of days.
Right.
Wait, I'm actually shook thinking about what a season two could be. Like, will they do that classic TV thing of they're together for half the season, then they're broken up for the second half, new love interests, whatever, whatever, whatever. I mean, it has to stay in the rink, though, right? Like, it has to stay hockey
It has to.
vibes.
I think you're right. They're going to do the classic TV stuff. It's making me think about how Red, White, and Royal Blue is going to have a sequel. And everyone's like, oh, it's about them, breaking up or a cheating happening. It's like, I don't want that to happen to those characters.
Well, I think that's originally what it was going to be, but now I believe it's supposed to be about a royal wedding.
Love. Oh, so it's giving Princess Diaries three?
Wait, it is two.
Two?
Three is coming, though,
And
allegedly.
Julie Andrews is in it?
I don't know.
Okay. All of that aside, obviously,
Raven better be in
Raven. Yeah, come on. We need to
it.
have all of the different princesses in it. Heated rivalry is taking over my life. It's taking over our algorithms. I think that anyone who is looking for something to do over this holiday season, get into Heated Rivalry.
It's so fun. And it also feels so Canadian.
Yeah, so there's a foreign element.
There is. My favorite part about this show, I love that I didn't know any of the actors before.
Yeah.
It's so fun to fall in love with new stars. It's a dying art.
Totally.
Everything else is actually, we were talking about the Emmys with some friends. Like, oh, will it get nominated and stuff? And we were both kind of like, well, hopefully, but everything else is so star-driven now. You run through any category and it's a name you already knew from a limited series or a show that's going to become more than a limited series. But I don't know. I hope we don't have to wait more than a year for season two of Heated Rivalry. But I heard that in the books, it every book covers a different couple, so I'm sure they'll start weaving them in and out too.
Okay.
I'm excited.
I am thinking all of a sudden about the idea of a new series coming out and it launching stars. I think about Paul Mescal and Daisy Edgar Jones and Normal People. I think about Kit Connor and Joe Locke from Heartstopper. And now we got Hudson and Connor from Heated Rivalry. I mean, I'm sure the examples could go on and on and on, but it's so fun to watch a career be born and to see them explode. I mean, I do see a big future for these guys.
Absolutely. Oh my God. Big future.
Big future, big future.
Oh,
Maybe in 2026. So, speaking of, everyone knows this time of year we do an annual review episode where we look back on all of the fun in theater, pop culture, love, and life, all the drama of the year prior. You better be subscribing to Drama Plus, where we will be once again reuniting with our best friends. And doing a little 2025 year in review, as we call it.
I can't wait. It's gonna be so fun. I feel like we're all gonna talk about Heated Rivalry, right?
I think we all watch it, except Isaiah hasn't watched it yet.
No, you're right. Okay. Well,
Oh, he needs to get on it if he
I mean, what's the hold up? Well, Dylan, Merry Christmas. And
Yes.
thank you all our listeners. We love you so much. Happy holidays, whatever holiday you're celebrating, whether you're alone, whether you're with friends, whether you're with family. Hopefully you spend some time with us and you feel a little more less alone and happy.
Yeah, tell us what you're watching. Tell us your favorite Christmas movies and Christmas songs that you listen to every single year. I know we mentioned a few at the beginning of this episode. And tell us if you think Ariana is going to get nominated for an Oscar.
That's one of my burning questions going into 2026.
That'll be the dinner party question, icebreaker, discourse starter. Wow. Well, once again, I'm feeling warm and cozy by the holidays, and I hope that everyone else at least gets to take a minute to feel warm and cozy themselves.
And have yourselves a merry little Christmas and a happy new year.
And follow us on social media at The Drama Podcast,
Oh,
at
yes.
Connor McDowell. I am at Dylan McDowell. And Connor, I will see you next time. Drama!
Drama!